Last weekend, I had a chance to attend the wedding of my niece, Julia, and her partner, Trey, and it was a great ceremony. And as one would expect, there were some of the standard vows that people take, for sickness and health, that you'll love somebody, richer and poorer, good times and bad. And anytime I witness any couple making a long-term commitment, it makes my heart sing. And I also think to myself, you two have no idea what you are getting into, do you? And in these kinds of commitments, what I find amazing is that we are asked to say yes before we see any of the fine print of the contract. And, I don't know about you. Maybe there are some attorneys in the crowd today. Is this what you would recommend to your clients? Just, sign it. Don't bother reading. But this is probably what most of us do with those. Do you agree to all the following terms and conditions online? Like, sure, why not? This is a lot like our faith journey, right? Generally, we are given just enough light to take the next step, and sometimes barely even that, without knowing much more. And that's, I think, where some of our disciples find themselves today. Now, over the past few weeks in church, we have heard a lot from the Gospel of John, what are called the Bread of Life discourses, where Jesus is both talking about feeding people, but also being food for people. Now, I could stand in front of you today and make some cheap bread puns, but seriously, that type of humor is one of my yeast favorite things. If I did, I know I'd be toast. And I would not do that to you, Spiritus Krusty. But seriously, we have seen this progression. So a few weeks ago, we heard Jesus feeds 5,000, and everyone was psyched. Jesus was an amazing miracle worker, high fives. Everyone wanted to be in his company. Today, the enthusiasm hits an all-time low, with many of his closer disciples not sure that they can continue on this road. And I think it's important to note that the people who they're talking about today weren't just the general people who found Jesus. It was his close circle. And so they weren't sure that they could really go along with the plan anymore because they couldn't see where it was headed, or maybe they were afraid of where it was headed. And so I would call this week's episode of the Gospel, What Happens When the Journey Gets Hard and Difficult to Understand? And today's gospel reminds me of the prophetic punk band, The Clash, who in 1981 summed it up this way: should I stay or should I go? If I go, there will be trouble, and if I stay, it will be double. So you've got to let me know, should I stay or should I go? Now, I've really been taken in recent years by an author and speaker named Prentice Hemphill, and they recently came out with a new book called What It Takes to Heal. And in the book, they talk a lot about courage, literally the heart that it takes to take up the tasks, the relationships, and the situations in front of us every day, but especially when these situations trigger some kind of fear in us. So whether you are 7 or 70 on this faith journey, we will get scared by something in our lives. Maybe it's a commitment, a diagnosis, a decision or a situation, and we will wonder at a deep level, will I be okay? We might also start to wonder, I don't know if I can do this. What will people think? What if I fail? Is it going to be like this forever? I can't keep doing this. Prentice says that these fear responses are natural. They are part of our systems of self-protection, but they can also get in the way of our own growth and maturity and can keep us frozen, stuck, or wanting to run away. And Prentice relates a story about their partner, Kasia. So they had been dating for about 3 months, and they were taking a hike in Hawaii together along a secluded and pretty treacherous trail. And so much so that at one point, Prentice became so overcome with fear that they dropped to their knees and could not move. And at that moment, Kasia looked at them with an understanding and uncompromising look and said, become bigger than the fear. And Prentice recalls that they were not told to not be afraid or that there was nothing to fear, but instead they were invited to make room for the fear, but then be more than what it dictated. Now, maybe a lot of us have been taught that courage only happens in big heroic gestures, you know, sort of the superhero swooping in to save the day. But there are so many other everyday acts of courage that are required of us that fear can easily prevent or undermine. Now, many of you may be familiar with Glennon Doyle, the wife of Rochester's very own Abby Wambach. And Glennon is a famous writer and podcaster whose life story has inspired many because Glennon has had to face many fears of her own. Glennon hosts a podcast with her sister Amanda and her wife Abby, and she's made famous the tagline of their podcast, "We Can Do Hard Things." And I just love that title, and I often use it as a little mantra for myself when I'm faced with a hard thing, like getting up on Monday morning. We can do hard things, Mike. We can do hard things. And when I combine the words that were spoken to Prentice with the tagline from their podcast, I think we get a powerful message that relates to today's gospel. Become bigger than your fear. We can do hard things. Now, I think about the disciples who decided to leave in today's gospel, and I wonder what they were thinking. I wonder what they were afraid of. I wonder what they told themselves. And I think about the disciples who stayed. I wonder what they told themselves to keep going. And if I had a chance, I would love to sit down with every one of you today and just ask, what are your fears these days? What are your worries? And what do you tell yourself to keep going on? All I know is that the ones who remain today, like many of us who are trying to faithfully listen to God's call, took a risk in spite of not having all of the answers or having it all mapped out. Growing up, I had the idea pretty often that I had to go outside of my life to do the thing that God wanted me to do, like being a missionary in a foreign country. That would be the hard thing. But as I've gotten older, I realized that there are a lot of hard things right in front of us all the time. Missionary work might be a party compared to what some of us are facing. And I think about our culture that sends us messages about freedom, that we are free when we can do whatever we want or when we have the most number of choices. And for me, I think our culture's definition of freedom can be summed up really well by the cereal aisle at Wegmans. I don't know if you've, especially at a big Wegmans or any other big grocery store, I don't even know how many varieties of cereal we have, but if you want Count Chocula, you can get Count Chocula. If you want Frosted Flakes, you can get that. You can get Bran Flakes. You could get Rice Krispies. You could get Shredded Wheat, frosted or unfrosted. Weetabix, 10 kinds of granola. That's freedom. But I have found that other forms of freedom exist, like when we give ourselves fully to something and decide to not have other choices. And Jesus is inviting us into that today. These are deep commitments that cost us something. A chicken and a pig caught up after a while of being apart, and they're very excited to see each other. And so they decided, let's do something to help other people. And so the pig has an idea, and she says, I got it. Let's serve a meal for people who don't have enough to eat. The chicken says, that is a great idea. How about for the menu we do ham and eggs? The pig pauses for a moment and says, for you, that requires a contribution. For me, that's a big commitment. And so, like the disciples today, you and I might find ourselves trying to stay faithful to big commitments that cost us something. Maybe we are accompanying somebody through their addiction, and we're actually trying not to give up on them. Maybe we're caring for a family member or someone through a time of crisis or injury, and there's no end in sight. Maybe we remain in a difficult work or personal relationship right now, and it's requiring a lot out of us. Maybe we are trying to stay true to a commitment or a cause that we have taken up even though we feel discouraged or are scared of what this might mean for our lives. It takes courage, heart, to believe that something different can come about that healing can happen or that life can change, and it often requires a deep commitment from us. Now, in the gospel today, staying is the choice that is held up, but in life, I don't know if it's that easy to figure out. While we can do hard things, we are not called to do every hard thing that is in front of us. And I think some of the most difficult work we have to do as humans is discerning which commitments we need to stay with and which commitments we need to release. Now, I was talking with my daughter, Kateri, who was also preaching this weekend in about an hour on this very gospel at her home church in Detroit. And when you're a preacher, it's really useful to have a child who's a preacher because you can talk shop. And one thing she was saying is that in the gospel today, it's not saying that the disciples who left discerned that this wasn't their commitment to take up. They were leaving because things became hard. And they got scared somehow. The faith journey was no longer fun and exciting, so they decided it was time to go. And we know that in our culture, we continually get messages that we deserve convenience, that we deserve ease, that we deserve luxury, that we deserve comfort. And so sometimes when the difficult stuff arrives, we might decide this isn't quite what we signed up for, and so we leave. Now, one thing I love about Jesus is he doesn't sugarcoat things. He does what Glennon Doyle says we must do: drop the fake and talk honestly. Now, a few months ago, I took a red-eye flight. I don't know if you've taken a red-eye flight before, and especially the way I fly in basic economy. It's not always pretty. And I imagine if I were getting onto the plane and Jesus were the pilot of the plane, and I said to him, you know, Jesus, will there be adequate legroom? And he just says, no. And then I say, Jesus, will my seat be able to recline so that I can get some rest? He says, it'll go back about this much. Jesus, will I be in the middle seat? Yes. And there's a small child sitting behind you. The people say to Jesus in today's gospel, these teachings are hard. And he says very seriously, I know. I know. You can go if you want to. And many do. He doesn't force us to accompany him. And then he asks those who remain such a tender question: are you going to leave too? And they offer such a tender answer in the voice of Peter: where else are we going to go? And there was one translation of that line that I saw that said, who else would we walk the road with? Who else are we going to walk this road with? So our faith journey is really a geographic one. We are asked to go where Jesus went, to do what he did, and to put our bodies in the midst of pain so that this world can heal somehow. And essentially, Jesus makes us two promises if we decide to journey with him. He says, I will be honest with you, and I will be with you. So today, we come together as people of faith, trying to find the courage to do what is ours to do in this world and not shy away when the difficulty comes. Now, in the old days, when people were going on a journey, they would hold a parting meal with their friends. And it was meant to be a meal that sustained the person, both spiritually and physically. And in just a little bit, we're going to come around this table. And this is our parting meal each week. And in our faith tradition, we believe that Jesus is present in what Father Jim often calls the humble disguises of bread or wine or juice. Jesus is humbly disguised in all of us as well. This meal doesn't promise to fix everything or make it all better, and it doesn't promise immediate results. It's a table meant for people who need strength for the journey. Our job is to bring the hunger, and God brings the food. So today, as we take the bread of life, may we be fed and sustained and then become food and sustainers for others. And I was thinking, as we come up for communion today, you know, we say the body of Christ and amen, But maybe in our minds we could hear two responses. Be bigger than the fear. Together we can do hard things.